It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello, 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 everyone out there in radio land. I am George Williams, your host, and I'm so glad to be here on a very chilly night in Alabama, folks. It was cold last night, and it's going to be cold tonight, but I think that's going to be a very short spell in the next 4 or 5 days. And after that, it's going to start getting warm, and I can plant my my summer gardens, okay? All right, folks, our number here is 251-343-0106. You can also text us at that number, and you can give us a call if you have a question or a statement to make. And if it's appropriate, we will allow you to ask that question. Also, if you're outside our listening area, some of you are. I know I have my cousin Ruth and Shayla, her friend. They're down in near Fort Lauderdale, and they are listening. So I say hello to the both of you. And a couple of my buddies in Brazil and in Africa, they are listening. So I say hello to all of you and in other states. So we have a lot of folks listening. And if you want someone else to listen, you can listen over the internet on your iPhone at FM Talk, T-A-L-K, 1065.com. And they can get us over the internet, folks. And we are here for the next hour. So let's begin. As usual, folks, we start off with Dick Morris. And after Dick Morris, we are going to have a guest later on tonight during the second half of our show. And he's going to be talking about some very interesting stuff regarding the Biden, lying Joe Biden regarding the bank bailouts. Oh, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. And that's nothing but a lie, folks. But anyway, let's hear Dick Morris, and we'll talk after that.
Biden's decision to bail out the Silicon Valley Bank is the ultimate cronyism. This would never have happened with a normal bank in the country. It simply is the most democratic bank there is. 95% of the depositors have deposits of more than $250,000. It's all the Silicon Valley giants, not just the financiers and the leaders, but their payroll as well, their workers. And as with everything that the left touches, it goes to excess and then ultimately falls apart, and you need the government to bail it out. In this case, they simply piled too much money into their bank accounts, and they ultimately couldn't pay the demands for withdrawal. And so much of their solvency was based on securities, investments like treasury bills. And when those yields dropped, they had a field day. But when they rose, as they've been doing now, and as they rise, the value of the principal shrinks, they're caught with their pants down. And as a result, the bank is failing. It's requiring massive federal bailouts. Don't buy the fiction that taxpayers aren't going to end up paying this. Of course they are, whether it be in taxes or in inflation or increased federal regulation and bank fees. This is such an ultimate act of cronyism. It is just disgusting.
All right. That was Dick Morrison. So true, so true. And our guest, when he comes on during the third segment of the show, he's going to talk about that because he is a financial expert. And I think all of you, especially you Democrats, should realize that what this administration is doing and how much they've screwed up our economy, folks. I mean, it's unbelievable what they're doing. And the worst thing about it is that they lie so much. They lie so much. And I'll give you an example, okay? The U.S. Chamber of Commerce made a statement a couple of days ago, and they said that from 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, the industry, job industry, is down over 3 million folks. And then Biden comes on, and he says they have, during his administration, they have enabled over 12 million people to find jobs. Now, folks, we know that is not true, especially you Democrats, okay? But you still vote for these folks, these, I call them zeros, all right? He also said we're not in any type of inflation. Look at the interest rates. Look at all the businesses that are closing. Even Walmart and a lot of these other conglomerates are laying off people. They're laying them off. And they're closing up all kinds of stores. If the industry was doing as Biden said, you think they would be laying off people and closing down stores all over the place? All over the place, all over America, they're closing down these big conglomerate stores. One reason, they can't find people to work. You look right here in Alabama, folks. Everywhere you go, you see hiring. And you talk to some of the owners, they said, we can't find people to work. Right in Pritchett, there's Pritchett, Alabama. There's a fast food store that it's closed down. They couldn't find people to work in that store. And several of the McDonald's is having problems. Every one of them, Burger King, I'm finding employees because the government is giving people money. So they don't want to work. They don't want to work. They're making more money by not working, folks. This is not fair. This is not America. And you Democrats who are voting for those folks in Washington, you've got to be crazy. You've got to, I don't know. I really can't say what I want to say over the air, but I'm telling you, folks, how can you believe them? How can you believe them? Look at what happened in Ohio with the train and the acid spill all over the place. Okay? Once Biden said something, then the Democrats will follow suit and the secretaries will follow suit. Well, it was due to Trump. What the heck? Trump's policies did it. I mean, folks, think about it. Think about it. Trump had nothing to do with that. The regulations that Trump put into place were fantastic. But who got rid of those regulations? Biden. Biden administration, his secretaries. They got rid of those good things that President Trump did for this country. You know? And it is totally unbelievable. And some of you still talking about how great they are. Hell, a dozen eggs now cost you $7-$8. A chicken will cost you $7-$8. I love oxtails. I looked the other day, they had two oxtails in this packet. And I normally go to my second home. My children say it's my second home. That's Walmart, because I buy everything there, okay? But, you know, it was $24 for a pack of two oxtails at Walmart. Unbelievable. So if you vote for these idiots in the future, I don't know what to say. It is not America like it used to be, folks. Not America like it used to be. And then you look at our enterprise zones under Dr. Ben Carson, under President Trump. They were putting money into the urban areas, urban cities. Biden stopped that, okay? He stopped that. The gas prices fluctuating up and down. Biden stopped that. Folks, think again. Think again. You Democrats. Whew. You're tough. You're tough. But you got to have some conscience and think about it. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, we are back. We are on a mission, and we will complete that mission with the help of more Democrats and more rhinos. Rhinos, you've got to become full-time Republicans, conservatives. I'm telling you, folks. We need everybody. One thing about the Democrats is they stick together. They'll lie together. They'll cheat together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Republicans, we have some rhinos. Romney is one. He's probably rhino number one. There are a lot of them, folks. A lot of them. But the Democrats stick together. So we Republicans, we have to start sticking together. Okay. Now, last week I told you, and week before last, I told you about the elections in Nigeria. And I was stationed in Nigeria for 6 years, so I know a lot of people there, and I know what's going on. And the election on the 25th of February in Nigeria, that was the presidential election and the Senate election. Then on the 18th, they're having the governor's election and the House of Representatives, which is comparable to our Congress. Folks, let me tell you something. This is Nigeria. This is Africa. Okay? That election was so corrupt until it made the Democrats, the election in 2020 or 2022, make the Democrats look like little babies, okay, as far as the cheating, in my belief, because they cheated like hell during the 2020 and 2022 election. But in Nigeria, it was so obvious. It was so obvious. Now, the person whom I think really won the election was Peter Obi, OBI. I know him personally. He came to Georgia a couple months ago. I met him there, took some pictures with him. He was a governor, two-term governor in one of the states in Nigeria. A younger guy, very bright, very non-corruptible. And the opposition tried to get all kind of dirt on him. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. But he... And what the Nigerian Election Commission did was they counted the votes. It was almost like the Democrats did. They wouldn't let the opposition witness the counting. Then they, let's say, for example, in a Anambra state, they had 120,000 people voted, and 75,000 voted for Peter Obi. Well, they would say, 20,000 doesn't count. They were not good voted. They did this all over. And then they were supposed to feed at the polling station, they were supposed to feed the results into the system that goes right into Abuja, the election center, and that's how they would determine. All of a sudden, and folks, remember this, during our election, how many of our machines broke down or they had problems at the polling station, especially where the Republicans were voting? Huh? Unbelievable. Several states, and mostly in the urban areas, folks. Well, this is what happened in Nigeria. And then before, they took 2 days to calculate all of those statistics. And then all of a sudden, they were still in the counting process. And they named this guy, Tinubu, Bola Tinubu, as the winner. Okay? And people know. They know. And you look on YouTube, et cetera, they know that Tinubu does not win this election. Pete Obi won it. So he has to take it to court. Not only he, but one of the other parties are taking it to court also. Now, remember, you must remember this. They had 17 different parties running for president and the Senate. Okay? 17 different individuals. You know, we have Republican, Democrats, and sometimes independents. But they had 17 different parties running for president, which is unbelievable, unbelievable. Now, in the 90s, I was in Nigeria, and Chief Abiola, they were going from a military dictatorship to a civilian. Chief Abiola won the election. Then the general who was in charge said, no, we're not going to make you the president. So he selected an interim president. This was General Babangida, okay? And so they named Chief Shonigan as the interim president. Then all of a sudden, after about three months, the general who was in charge of the armed forces said, Sonny Abacha said, no, we don't want a civilian president. So he took over. And what they did when he took over, he named different high-level police and military guys to run the state as governors. Okay? Only after he died, and this was in 93, and he mysteriously died in 99, then the former military president, Obasanjo, General Obasanjo, he was elected to be the president, and he was the president for 8 years. And the current president took over a coup in the 80s, and then General Babangida had a coup against him. So now he's the president, Buhari, General Buhari, and his party allegedly won the presidency over in Nigeria, which everyone knows they did not, okay? They did not. But the gun rules in Africa, and in Southeast Asia the same way. Now, folks, you know, we're talking about the Second Amendment, and Biden spoke today on more background checks, okay? Can you imagine what would happen to this country if the citizens didn't have weapons? Now, remember, over in Africa, in Asia, citizens can't have weapons, folks. That's why the military is able to have all these coups and run these countries. You have some of the leaders in Africa have been there 40 years, the so-called presidents. I mean, look at Cameroon. That guy's been there about, 40 years? If someone want to run against him, something happened to them. Okay? Several countries are like that because the people don't have arms. And we have to give our earlier Congress and senators, give them credit because somehow they had foresight to know that if our people didn't have arms, the government would take over. Okay? Now, in World War II, someone asked the Japanese general, why didn't they hit Pearl Harbor, but why didn't they hit America? He said, you crazy? With all those fools with the weapons they had over there, they would wipe us out in a minute. Now, the British knows that because we kicked their behinds out of America. The French knows it because we kicked their behinds out of America. The Spaniards tried. They know it. Okay? But remember now, during these times with the British, the French, it was civilians who took up arms against them. Mainly civilians. We didn't have a big military. Okay? That's how they call them colonials in Africa. That's how they were able to take over Africa, folks. I mean, can you imagine the British going into Nigeria and taking over the whole country, or the French going into Ivory Coast, Benin, Togo, and taking over the whole country? Because those folks didn't have weapons. And it was the colonials who had the weapons. Now, I have to admit, when they did take over those countries, you didn't have these wars. You didn't have these presidents, for life presidents. You didn't have all the killings. They did stop. Because in Africa and some of these other countries, it's tribalist, okay? That's how they survive, by the tribal folks, districts and regions. That's how they survive. They take care of their own. And that's why you have all these wars over there and killings, kidnappings, et cetera, due to the fact that one tribe don't like the other one. The same thing used to happen in America here. You know, you had the Shawnees, you had the Apaches, you had the Creeks, you had the Seminoles, okay? You had the Choctaws, you had all those tribes. They used to have wars within each other. And who stopped that was the Americans, okay? The soldiers. So this is what's happening in Africa. That's why we need our Second Amendment. And Mr. Biden, you know, you want different. Now, how many illegal folks have weapons? How many criminals have weapons? Go after those folks who illegally have those weapons, not the people who are going to defend this country against enemies, foreign and domestic, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. And we are continuing with our mission. And we are pleased to have as our guest now, Dr. Edison Walters. And he is a financial expert, international and domestic-wise. Dr. Edison, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good evening to you and your listening audience.
Great. Doctor, tell us a little bit, our audience, a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was actually in the mortgage industry in 2008 when the industry crashed. And I had serious concerns about the narrative behind the cause of the crash. And essentially what I did was I went back to school and I focused on studying about financial crises and crashes. And I actually uncovered a completely different story from the narrative that was given about the crash. My research proved there was no real estate bubble. Essentially what actually caused the crash was heightened risk expectations. Subprime loans didn't cause the crash. And so I've published about 10 different papers on the financial crisis that completely rips apart everything that the narrative that was given about the crash. My research shows a completely different story. And one of the things in my research I've kept warning about another crash coming because we never addressed the problem in 2008. And so, you know, our financial system is still in a position where we can see a worldwide economic crash happening again.
Okay. Now, Doc, what is the difference between 2008 and now, especially in the banking industry?
Well, essentially, the true cause of the 2008 financial crash was simply heightened risk expectation. Mm-hmm. In other words, fears led people to believe that mortgage-backed securities was junk. And incidentally, it was at a time where real estate was poised for a huge boom because of the incorporation of technology into the real estate industry. In other words, the real estate and mortgage industry in our country was the healthiest it have ever been in the history of our country. Record low foreclosures never, ever seen before. But simply because people believed mortgage-backed securities were junk and they were going to crash, that heightened risk expectation is what actually caused the crash.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what's happening now that was so different?
Today, what we see is we see quite a bit of similarities between what happened with 2008. Because higher interest rate led a lot of your tech startups to be cash trapped, and they started withdrawing funds from their bank account. Mm-hmm. And they started the amount of money that they were withdrawing started to create liquidity problems for Silicon Valley Bank. Mm-hmm. And because of that, people got really scared, and you had a run on the bank. People were running to the bank to try to pull their money out simply because of fear. Mm-hmm. And that have actually bled over to Signature Bank and one more bank. I can't think of that bank off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. But it's three banks that are in problem. But essentially, the real problem is heightened risk expectation. People are just scared. Risk expectation is sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. When people believe banks fail, banks are going to fail, the banks will fail.
Right. No doubt. Why are these banks failing? Because the banking industry is the most watched, one of the most watched by the government in the world, especially in America.
Well, one of the problems with Signature Bank is an issue around cryptocurrency. And incidentally, I've warned about the dangers of cryptocurrency before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Silicon Bank is heavily Signature Bank is heavily into cryptocurrency. They have these cryptocurrency exchanges where people actually use cryptocurrency, and so it's an issue with the security and the risk associated with cryptocurrency. And, one of the problems with cryptocurrency is it really doesn't solve a problem, and there's really no underlying value. Nothing that it's actually pinned to cryptocurrency to determine the value. So with cryptocurrency, it's sort of like it's worth what the next person is willing to pay for it, but you can only do that for so long because at the end, somebody will end up being stuck with it. But, I mean, cryptocurrency is simply, you know, it's worthless.
Okay. Okay. Now, but, you know, do you feel that, now, Silicon Valley is very important, a lot of money in Silicon Valley. Will that have an effect on other banks outside of that particular area?
Well, it could, and that was the problem in 2008. The risk expectation, heightened risk expectation, was so widespread that the financial institutions stopped working. In order for financial markets to work, investors have to be willing to accept some level of risk. When there's zero tolerance for risk, we see financial institutions fail. And so essentially that was the problem in 2008, and that could happen again.
Now, does the economy have something to do with that? Because there are a lot of large companies that are folding. Well, not folding, but they're laying off, okay? Thousands of people and closing some of these big stores.
Well, yes, and all of that contributes to the heightened risk expectation. I mean, we're in an environment right now where the economy, where we're in a economy that's hit a downturn. Inflation have really, you know, devastated our economy. We see a slowdown of the economy, and people are expecting the economy to slow down. They're expecting the economy to crash, and so. You know, I've looked at several different financial crises. And the one thing that all these financial crises have in common is when people expect turmoil in the economy, when they expect markets to fail, markets fail.
Now, will this just be in the U.S. or would this spread outside?
It just depends. If we can't get people to have confidence in the banking system, it is definitely going to spread. Mm-hmm. But what we need to do is we need to take steps so the public can feel more confident in the banking system. And because, like I said, heightened risk expectation causes markets to crash.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been on this show before, and you outlined that some of our politicians who are still in office, especially some of our senators, were involved in this 2008 situation, and they're still there. So what effect will they...
And the problem with 2008 is this. Every single policy that was enacted to address the 2008 financial crisis was wrong. It was complete policy failure across the board. At the time, Barack Obama was president. Joe Biden was vice president. Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House. And Chuck Schumer was the majority leader. And somehow people in this country forgot who was in charge when, in 2008 and made all the wrong decisions. Mm-hmm. And their decisions, incidentally, actually led to the European debt crisis and literally caused the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. So we put the same people who caused the Great Recession, caused a great financial crisis, back in charge of our economy, and we're wondering why we're here again. I mean, you can't keep putting the same people in charge and expecting a different result. But literally, Democratic policies led to the financial crisis, 2008 financial crisis, the European debt crisis, and the Great Recession. Every single policy they enacted in 2008 was counterproductive. One of the major issue that was facing the real estate industry, it had absolutely nothing to do with subprime lending. In fact, the data shows we had record low foreclosures as a result of subprime lending. Mm-hmm. Subprime lending led to our real estate and mortgage industry, led them to be the healthiest it had ever been in the history of our country. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea that subprime mortgages caused the 2008 crisis is a complete myth. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of a real estate bubble is a complete myth. Now, the policies they passed, they were reacting to things that simply wasn't true. And they restricted mortgage lending at a time when the biggest challenge facing the country was a lack of mortgage lending. Mm-hmm. And every policy they enacted literally worsened the crisis and led to a worldwide economic collapse and the Great Recession.
Right. Now, Doc, we're going to go on the break in less than a minute. And when we come back, you know, you mentioned some of the folks, but this happened under Democrat control, correct?
Yes, it happened under Democrat control. Right. Initially, it started as a political narrative to help Barack Obama in the 2008 presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when we come back, we could get a little more into that.
Yeah, definitely. I would like for you to get and other folks. I mean, Senator Pocahontas and Senator Sanders had something to do with that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Elizabeth Warren was the chairman of the TARP Oversight Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And my research, one of my publications, I demonstrated that TARP had no significant effect on the banking industry.
All right.
Banks that took TARP money.
All right, Doc.
It didn't make a difference.
Doc, we're going into a commercial break. You can continue after the message, okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back with Dr. Edson Walters.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, George Williams here, and we are talking to Dr. Edison Waters, who is an international, worldwide financial expert. Doctor, thank you for coming on.
Yes, as I was saying before we went to the break, you know, the 2008, the last crisis we had before the global financial crisis and the world economic crisis, one of the problems was every policy that was implemented worsened the crisis. We had Elizabeth Warren as chairman of TARP Oversight.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what they did in 2008, they actually focused on the banks. And it's similar to what they're doing today, because 2008, the bank was a symptom of the problem. The larger problem was liquidity in the mortgage industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so had they addressed problem of liquidity in the mortgage industry, then the banks would have, it would not have been an issue with the bank. And when you look at what people like Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and these politicians, they kept repeating a narrative, and they focused on a problem that simply didn't exist. And so, like I said before, everything they did literally worsened the crisis. You had Chuck Schumer, and we still hear them repeat the same thing today, and they blame the banks for causing the crisis when it was literally bad policies, because the entire crash can be attributed to a Democratic Party narrative that's repeated over and over in the media. There's a real estate bubble and the market's going to crash. There's a real estate bubble and the market's going to crash. And that literally was the leading story on the news every single day for about 24 months coming up to the election, because they wanted to paint George Bush as destroying the economy. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they heightened risk expectations, and people got scared and they started dumping mortgage-backed securities. And that's why we ended up with frozen capital markets. So misinformation is such a huge risk. And misinformation can actually cause markets to fail. And it's really the biggest risk facing our economy moving forward.
Okay.
Is misinformation.
Okay. Biden said the other day, and also today he made a statement, that the government will not bail out these banks. Now, that's nothing but a big lie. What is your opinion?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a big lie, because they're taking on assets that are insolvent. When you take on insolvent assets, you have to prop up their assets somehow. I mean, they're not going to just become solvent by themselves. So literally what the federal government is doing is they're pumping money into the banks. It's similar to if you buy a stock for $100 and the value of the stock drops to $50, and the government comes in and says, don't worry about whether or not the value dropped. We'll still give you the $100 you paid for the stock. Mm-hmm. Somebody is paying the difference. And essentially, that's the same thing they're doing with the bank. Mm. You know, the value of the bank have decreased significantly, yet they're honoring all the deposits deposit holders in the bank. They're honoring every dime that was deposited into the bank.
But
now, if the bank doesn't have the liquidity or it doesn't have the capital to honor those deposits, I mean, the money has to come somewhere.
But they're only, the FDA is saying that they're only going to protect $250,000. A lot of those people, especially in that Silicon Valley area, had millions of dollars in the bank. Are they going to get all their money?
The Biden administration is saying they're going to protect the full amount of deposit.
You're kidding.
Yes, this is what the Biden administration is saying.
Holy
yes,
cow.
The FDA laws says $250,000.
Right.
But the Biden administration is saying that they will make depositors 100% whole. And I'm not sure if that is even legal. I'm not sure how the Biden administration can do that without a vote of Congress.
I think I read something today that in order for him to do that, they have to have congressional approval, because that's budget.
Yeah, they have to. Yeah, they have to. But that hasn't stopped the Biden administration before. Look at their immigration policies.
Hmm, that's true.
I mean, we're talking about a lawless administration. We're talking about an administration that don't care about the rule of law.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at what they've done to people at January 6th, they literally framed people and locked people up without due process. They withhold evidence that could have exonerated people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and you have people serving time in prison right now. And now that the tapes are coming out, they're telling a different, completely different story.
Right. What else concern you, Doctor, about this administration, the way we're going now?
Well, I mean, we're heading for a cliff. Mm-hmm. We're heading over a cliff, and Joe Biden is full steam ahead. I mean, you know, one of the things with this current crisis is I think focusing on the banks is the wrong approach.
Mm-hmm.
These tech startups that are in trouble because of their lack of liquidity, if they had a program in place that helped the tech startups, then they wouldn't have a run on the bank. And so the bank is just a symptom of the bigger problem, and it's the same thing that happened in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't focus on the real problem, which was a lack of mortgage lending.
Right.
And now there's a lack of liquidity for these companies, but they're focusing on the bank.
How would
I
that...
I mean, the bank is a symptom of the bigger problem.
Right. How will that affect the American consumer?
Well, we could end up with another financial crisis because, you know, once these techs, we're already in a situation where our economy is under a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have all these Walmart, Walgreens, all these stores are announcing store closures. All these corporate giants are announcing store closures. And so the economy is under a lot of stress, and what's going on now, it wouldn't take much for us to end up in a situation similar to 2008.
All right.
And one of the problems is these policymakers, they don't have a clue because they never really understood that in 2008, technology changed the real estate industry, and that's what led to higher prices. They never understood that. So they don't understand the implications of technology in our economy.
All right,
and
Doc.
They don't understand how misinformation
right,
can
Doc,
disrupt our
we're going to have to stop you. We only have a few more seconds, and we appreciate you coming on, and we're going to have you again. In a couple of weeks, because this is very important for our listening audience, okay?
All right, great. Well, thanks for having me. It was certainly a pleasure.
All right, folks, we're just about time to sound off, but listen to what the doctor says. Listen to what Dick Morris says, folks, okay? There's more to this story that over the next couple of weeks, and I think we're going to be very disappointed in this administration. All right, folks, time to get out of here. Until then, Vicon Dales, everyone.